So we'll come to text 18, and for the sake of time, I won't read the Bengali for all the verses, but the translation is, formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." 20. Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. 21. "If you are in full transcendental bliss," he said, "you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying?" Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman-realized person is always happy. Na sochati na kangshati. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. So the scriptures contain many negative injunctions, such as the one we just read from the Gita, Nasochati Nakangshati, one who is on the Brahman platform neither hankers nor laments. But that refers, of course, to material hankering and lamentation. But there's also spiritual hankering and lamentation, as exhibited by Srila Madhavendra Puri, who was hankering for Krishna. Madhavendra Puri is a very important figure in our parampara, because he was the first to exhibit feelings of separation in the mood of Srimati Radharani after Krishna left Vrindavan. So he was hankering to attain Krishna, and he was lamenting because he was not reaching his goal. And Ramachandra Puri totally misunderstood his divine hankering and lamentation and advised him not to hanker and lament. 22. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Purport. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. "When he was crying in separation, I could not achieve Krishna, I could not reach Mathura." This was not ordinary material lamentation. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expression as ordinary material lamentation, Ramachandra Puri advised him to remember Brahman because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. So in the Bengali it says, Krodha Upajila. When Madhavendra Puri heard the words of Ramachandra Puri, Krodha, anger, arose in him. On the material platform, krodha is a no-no. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and enemy, and envy are enemies of the conditioned souls and are considered gateways to hell. So, material anger arises when one's lust is frustrated. Kama krodho vijayate. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Sanskrit term kamanujena for anger is used. Literally, kamanujena means the younger brother of lust. You know the word anuja, ramanuja, is younger brother of lust. Wherever the older brother goes, the younger brother follows. Wherever there is lust, anger follows. When our material desires are frustrated, we become angry. Spiritually, when there is an obstacle to devotional service, one may also become angry. But not materially, spiritually. And one can use that anger to remove the obstacle. When we were in New Delhi with Srila Prabhupada for the first Delhi Pandal, after the Pandal program, an American young man came to meet Srila Prabhupada where he was staying, and he waxed eloquent about how if people become Krishna conscious, there will be no more anger in the world. And Srila Prabhupada said, anger? Did someone tell you there's something wrong with anger? Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita just to make Arjuna angry so that he would, you know, fight and kill the enemies. So there's also spiritual anger. From one point of view, Ramachandra Puri's presence was an impediment to Madhavendra Puri's meditation on Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri wanted him away. And on another level, Ramachandra Puri's pride and tendency toward impersonalism were obstacles to his own spiritual advancement, and so his spiritual master rebuked him to purify him. As Srila Prabhupada notes, such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the benefit of the disciple. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vineha Na Pujaya. Even the most learned scholar cannot understand the activities and characteristics of a transcendental Vaishnava. Therefore, we should be very careful when we deal with Vaishnavas, lest we misunderstand them and offend them. 23. O my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. So generally, the spiritual master does not reject a disciple. But still, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, yaya tamam prapadyante tamsta jaiva bhajamyaham. As people approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. If someone neglects Krishna, Krishna will neglect him. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. In effect, Ramachandra Puri had rejected Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master. Because how can a disciple advise his spiritual master? One of the lessons here is that if a disciple gets too close to the spiritual master without having the required purity, he or she may mistake him to be ordinary and commit offenses. It happened with some of Srila Prabhupada's personal servants. Srila Prabhupada never rejected a disciple unless the disciple rejected him. One case was Prabhupada's disciple Aravinda, who served for some time as Prabhupada's personal servant but eventually left. Later he met a devotee who informed him that Srila Prabhupada was in town. "You should come and meet Srila Prabhupada," the devotee told him. So Aravinda came, and when he saw Prabhupada, he told him, "Krishna consciousness never really worked for me, so I left." Indirectly, he was criticizing Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Good, I'm glad you left. Because now I don't have to look at your morose face anymore." So reading this line from Madhavendra Puri, "Don't show your face to me," reminded me of Srila Prabhupada's words. But it was tit for tat. Ultimately, both the blessings and the curses of a Vaishnava are beneficial, as we see from the Damodar Leela when Narada Muni cursed Nalakuvara and Manigripa. Text 26. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. So one of the effects of offense is that one becomes influenced by material desires and sometimes is overwhelmed by them. And then, to justify one's sinful activities, one may speculate and manufacture many excuses. Or one may develop an impersonal attitude. Yet another effect of offenses, and this is very common, is that one becomes prone to commit more offenses, as explained in the next verse. Text 27. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. So the first offense against the holy name is sadhu ninda, who blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name, and we should avoid that at all costs. So now we come to the example of a devoted disciple, the real hero for today, Sri Ishwara Puri. Text 28. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. And if we're attending to someone who's leaving his or her body, that's our duty to help them remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Text 32. Ishwara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the object of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So, it is stated that the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee are very powerful, but that the same dust, listen very carefully, my dear devotees, the same dust that elevates one to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, to the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, can also push one down to hell if one offends it. One offends the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. This principle was enunciated by Sati to her father Daksha after Daksha had offended Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Namita Shambhu. And the purport is relevant to the present discussion. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Sati quits her body, Text 13, Sati says, Nascharyameta yadasa tu sarvada mahadvininda mahadvininda kunapat pavadishu Sursyam ha purusha padam pusambudir nirastate jasu tadeva sobadam. Quote, it is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of the materialistic person is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, everything depends on the strength of the recipient. For example, due to the scorching sunshine, many vegetables and flowers dry up, and many grow luxuriantly. Thus, it is the recipient that causes growth and dwindling. Similarly, Mahiya Shampada Rajo Bishekam, the dust of the lotus feet of great personalities offers all good to the recipient, but the same dust can also do harm. Those who are offenders at the lotus feet of a great personality dry up. Their godly qualities diminish. A great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse offenses at the dust of that great soul's feet. Just as one can tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's head, but cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's feet. So, Lord Chaitanya accepted Sri Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master, and because he was such a perfect disciple of Sri Madhavendrapuri, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, was pleased to accept him as his spiritual master. Later, Lord Chaitanya visited Ishwarapuri's birthplace at Kumarahatta and collected some earth from the birth site, which he kept very carefully and ate a small portion of daily. Thus he showed us how a faithful disciple worships a spiritual master who has faithfully served his spiritual master perfectly. So on this auspicious occasion, we pray that Sri Ishwarapuri and his disciple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will bless us with pure devotion to the spiritual master. So, my dear devotees, we still have about 15 minutes left. So if any of you have any questions or comments, you can raise your hand. Yes.
Class about familiarity. So how do we guard against familiarity or over-familiarity?
Yeah, it is said familiarity breeds contempt. Well, one thought that comes to mind is Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was constantly going in and out of Srila Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada instructed him that every time he enters and leaves the room, he must offer obeisances so he doesn't become over-familiar or forget Srila Prabhupada's position or his position in relation to Srila Prabhupada. And we should pray, you know, not to become over-familiar or, see the spiritual master in a mundane way or take the spiritual master for granted. Yeah. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Ishwarapuri was eating a little dust from his spiritual master's birthplace.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya was eating a little dust from Ishwarapuri's birthplace.
So, should we ask you where you were born and take a little dust of that place?
Oh, I don't know about that. But some years ago, His Holiness Radhanath Swami and I visited Srila Prabhupada's birthplace in Kolkata, and we took some dust from there that we were relishing. Yes, Petit Pavan Prabhu.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya, when he was meeting the sannyasis in Benares, he was speaking about his spiritual master, Kesava Bharati, how he saw him as a fool.
Yeah.
But I don't remember reading so much about Lord Chaitanya speaking about his Guru Maharaj, or how was the initiation, how he got initiated by Ishwarapuri. Maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, well, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi, they asked him why he wasn't mixing with them and studying Vedanta. And he replied, Mora Murke Deki Karila Shashana, that my spiritual master saw me as a great fool and he chastised me. And he told me not to enter into discussions of Vedanta, but just to chant the holy names. And then Lord Chaitanya continued, but after some time, I manifested various symptoms, like crying, dancing, shivering. And I thought that maybe I was going mad by the influence of the mantra. So he approached his spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada comments, this is an instruction or an illustration that even someone who is liberated approaches the spiritual master for clarification. And his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, said, you know, my dear child, I'm very pleased with you. You are manifesting symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. And he, like, instructed him or blessed him that, you know, may you continue to chant like this and share the chanting with others. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not aware of details about the initiation as such, but the essence of it is that that Ishwara Puri initiated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master and followed his instructions religiously.
Hare Krishna. What I wanted to ask you is, you mentioned about spiritual anger. So I was wondering, what's the difference between spiritual and material anger? And can we use this spiritual anger for make some progress, spiritually talking? And if you can give an example.
Yes. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says that lust, greed, anger, and so on can all be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Although he does say the only thing that cannot be dovetailed is envy. Although, depending on how you define envy, that also could be dovetailed. But anger definitely can be. And in the history of the Juhu struggle, Srila Prabhupada had a very staunch follower named P.L. Sethi, who, he was Punjabi and he was a bit of a kshatriya, which Srila Prabhupada appreciated. So at one stage in the history, the a demolition squad of the municipal corporation came and broke down our small temple. And so we were going around meeting the different municipal councillors to convince them that the temple was authorized, which it was. But at a certain point we realized we don't actually have to do that because we already have the permission. The municipality wrongfully demolished it. So we realized we don't have to do anything about getting the permission because we already have it. So Mrs. Nair, I'm hoping you know the basic story, because it would take a long time. But anyway, Mrs. Nair, the landlady, had her spies, and they found out that we were planning to rebuild the temple. It was on a Friday. So she went to the court to get an injunction from Justice Nyan to stop us from rebuilding the temple. And he said, no, I will not give any injunction without hearing the other side. Then she said, well, just give a temporary injunction until Monday. And he said, that also I will not do. I will not grant any injunction without hearing the other side. So we knew we had the weekend to rebuild the temple. So Mr. Sethi was a builder, so he brought some of his construction materials and crew to the site to rebuild the temple. So one of the big adversaries of Prabhupada and ISKCON was Pushpakant Matre, the local municipal corporator. He was very close with Mr. Nair and Mrs. Nair. So he came and he said, well, you can rebuild the temple, but I'm going to come with 50 gundas and tear it down again. So Mr. Sethi said to his son, Brij Mohan, Brij Mohan, bring my pistol and my rifle. And then he said, how many cartridges, he used the word cartouche, how many cartridges do I have? And Brij Mohan said, 250. So Mr. Sethi said to Matre, 50 is not enough. You'll have to bring more than 250 because the first 250 I'm going to shoot dead. And then, you know, Matre backed off. So, in a way, you could say that was he was engaging his anger in Krishna's service. Then that same evening, Tamal Krishna Goswami told me that I should stay up all night and make sure the temple gets rebuilt. And I don't know exactly what I was thinking, but Satsvarupa Maharaj had just passed through Juhu. He was my first temple president in Boston. I really appreciated him and his humility. And somehow I mentioned his humility. And Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at me with, you could say, restrained anger. And he said, your humility will be to stay up all night and make sure this temple gets rebuilt. And I thought about it, and I considered, yes, it's true. I mean, where is my humility if I'm not ready to do whatever is necessary to serve my spiritual master? So, yeah. Anger can definitely be used in Krishna's service. Yes, Ramanuja Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for. I just wanted to mention his question of Patita Pavan Prabhu, where the initiation took place of from Ishwarpuri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Mangal and in Chaitanya Bhagavat, both, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, with his friends, he went to Gayaji for the Shraddha ceremony for his father, Jagannath Mishra. this is where he met Ishwar Puri. And when he saw the ecstasy of Ishwar Puri, he fell at the feet of Ishwar Puri. And this is when he requested him to guide me so I can attain the perfection of whole life. So this is when Ishwar Puri instructed him that you chant Maha Mantra.
Nice. And thank you for giving those details.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were saying how criticism leads to more criticism. So if we find ourselves becoming mentally critical, how can we stop that?
Well, we should try to think of the good. And I, assuming you're talking about devotees, so yeah, we should try to see the good in them. They must have some good. So try to see the good and focus on it. Otherwise, as you said, one might be committing a subtle offense, even though one doesn't voice one's criticism. But yeah, we should always try to see the good in the other devotees and appreciate the good in them. And, you know, unless we're in a position of authority where we have to correct a devotee, it's part of our service or our duty to correct the devotee, then we should rather, you know, focus on the devotee's good qualities and nice service. But if we're in a position in which we have to correct a devotee, then we might have to see, acknowledge that fault. And I heard that Srila Prabhupada even said that the one thing he doesn't like about being a spiritual master is that he has to correct his disciples and they're all Vaishnavas. Another thing, it's sort of random, but not completely, but on the subject of wearing garlands, Srila Prabhupada said that the reason I like to wear garlands is so that my hard heart will become softened by association with the soft flowers. Yes, Nikunja Vilasini.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you so much for that beautiful class and for explaining so well the terrible effects of offenses. In this modern world, we see that free speech is encouraged and even emphasized. And sometimes, even on social media amongst devotees, we find maybe offensive remarks, you know, expressing their grievances from past offenses being committed, even to senior devotees. So how can devotees guard against this in the name of free speech? And how can we also deal with that situation?
Well, I mean, freedom of speech means that you're free to express yourself, but that doesn't give you the liberty to commit Vaishnava aparad, which is forbidden in the Shastras. And there is a lot of criticism, sadhu-ninda. There's a lot of sadhu-ninda out there on the social media. And I would really strongly recommend devotees avoid reading criticism of devotees or hearing criticism of devotees, you know, on social media or anywhere. It's very damaging for our devotional creepers. As I said, sadhu-ninda is the first offense against the holy name. And have Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if by chance one commits sadhu ninda, then the same tongue that he used to criticize the devotee, he should use to glorify the devotee. So, yeah, we should glorify the devotees and look for opportunities to glorify them and to read appreciations of other devotees, and not the opposite. Yes?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Thank you for a wonderful class. I'm thinking about addressing unpleasant behavior. And Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Thank you for a lovely class and thank the wonderful association for, of everybody else. I'm wondering about the how we rebuke people in a nicer way, because I think our language can be rewritten in a way that we are we want changes, so we must say it in a nice way. And when you're angry, you're overcome with this anger, and the and envy comes into it as well, I suppose. Often there's envy. I just wondered how we can create changes, because we are told in most mode of goodness not to challenge, just to turn the other way, or turn the other cheek, and just move on, or remove yourself from the situation. But it doesn't solve the problem.
Well, if you're referring to devotees who need to be corrected, Srila Prabhupada said that criticism offered with sympathy is more likely to be accepted. He also said there's a great art to criticizing, but unfortunately you do not know that art. But he gave an example that instead of saying the tree is dead, you say the beautiful tree, which is so full of fruits and flowers and foliage, and is so beautiful to see, and it renders so much service to humanity, has lost its juice. It comes to the same thing, but it's a little more tactful and a positive way of saying it. Yes, in the back corner.
Disappointed in what they were getting.
Yeah. Very wise words from dear saintly Kalangana Mataji. That's good. We should be grateful rather than a great fool. and leave, yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. I wondered if you could clarify a little bit further about not seeing the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. So should we understand that as that they don't have weaknesses, like human weaknesses, or in what concrete sense is that?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Should we see that the spiritual masters don't have the common sort of human weakness that we have, or how do we see them?
Oh, well, the main thing is to see the spiritual master's internal mood of service. I mean, it doesn't mean... there was one very interesting morning walk conversation between Srila Prabhupada and some disciples in Mayapur, especially Satsarupa Maharaj and Jayadvaita Swami. And they were asking many questions about the spiritual master. And one of them said, you know, sometimes it appears that the spiritual master doesn't know something, like materially. Because it's also said that one who has a spiritual master is supposed to know everything. So what does that mean, everything? And Srila Prabhupada replied, everything means as much as his spiritual master has taught him. That is the meaning of everything. And the point was made about maybe not knowing something about the material world. And the answer was that, you know, in a way the material world is an illusion. So it's like, you know, asking a question about an illusion. But the main point that Srila Prabhupada made, because they had some wrong ideas about what acharya is, and the main point that Srila Prabhupada made was acharya bhakti samsanat. That is part of a verse that describes Sri Advaita Acharya. He is a Dvaita for such and such reason, and he's Acharya Bhakti Samsanat, because of his preaching of the Bhakti cult. And Srila Prabhupada said that's the real way to see the Acharya Bhakti Samsanat, how he is preaching the Bhakti cult, and not these other things.
Guru Maharaj is something that is inside me for the last months, and I think in the heart of many devotees, as we are living in a very difficult time in ISKCON, with many things happening here and there. As Mataji said, in the media we have devotees speaking about senior devotees in a way that is not so convenient, but on the other side we saw that there were some abuses committed toward devotees, and devotees want to make like kind of justice or put...
They want to what?
Like kind of justice or...
No, they want justice.
Or something like that. So sometimes they approach the leaders looking for that, and they don't expect that we look to another side, mm-hmm. and some action to be taken. So, but is at the same time is delicate, because I don't know how. Maybe you can enlighten us how to deal with these situations.
Well, what is your question?
It's about that sometimes we are hearing comments of very senior devotees that we really respect, but there are something in which they are involved, or they were involved, and we are supposed to be aware of that, or they try to make us aware of that, how to deal with this.
Well, I mean, we can't be like ostriches and bury our head in the sand. I mean, we should be aware of what's happening, especially if it's needed for our service, which might include advising devotees. So, yeah, we can be aware of what it is, but I personally would suggest we speak only as much as required about it and not unnecessarily, because it's just going to bring us down. Yeah. Yeah, if you have to give advice to someone about a particular topic, then you might have to go into it, but otherwise, better to focus on the positive. And once Srila Prabhupada said, we shouldn't be surprised if someone leaves. We should be surprised if someone stays. All right. Thank you for listening so patiently and attentively. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Ishwara Puri ki jai.